Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people with the power of your love. Amen. I want to talk to you about manna, Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, the Last Supper, a friend of mine from India and his guru, another friend's last words before he died recently. I want to talk to you about the natural and the supernatural. I want to keep you all on board as we do this in 12 minutes. So buckle up. The Exodus reading pulls us into the life of the Israelites just weeks after they had escaped Egypt and the slavery that was there. They've been in the wilderness about 6 weeks and began to panic at not having enough food to make it. They surely questioned Moses and Aaron, their two leaders. And if you've ever been in absolute wild nature, far away from any civilized support or structure, you know it can be very scary, especially at night. I've learned through my training through Sierra Club Wilderness Travel course to never go into the backcountry without 10 essentials, which include water, food, light, fire, emergency shelter, first aid supplies, insulation from the cold, and protection from sun and rain. And when we go out, we know how long we're going to be out. We know exactly where we're going, and we take one day of extra food just in case something unforeseen happens. And I'm sure the Israelites had their essentials as well, but the problem was they didn't know how long their trip was going to last, and they didn't know where they were going. No map, no destination they knew of, and no time frame. This reading is often sourced for some preachers to talk about the Israelites whining. Were they just whiners or were they plain out of solutions? If you were in their case, in their situation, out in the middle of nowhere, not knowing where you're going, and about out of food, wouldn't you panic also? I certainly would. I wouldn't let you see it, but I would be panicking. So you just heard in the reading what happens next. Two things happen. One I see is a natural event, and one is supernatural. The natural event was quail dropping out of the sky right around their encampment, right after they've been complaining to Moses about nothing to eat. In the wintertime, birds migrate from Central Europe to the southern parts of Africa. They cross the Mediterranean, and by the time they get to the Sinai, in both directions, they are in desperate need of resting. They almost fall out of the sky and land there and eventually move on once they've rested. And this happens all around the encampment of the Israelites. It happened only one time. The supernatural, however, was the manna. And manna is derived, the word manna is derived from the Hebrew word, which means, what is it? It actually was in the reading today. It came with the dew each day, and when the dew had dried up, you could gather it and boil it or bake it into good, nutritious bread. And that continued for most of the Israelites' journey in the desert. It could not be stored, or it would spoil. Only enough bread for the day was supplied miraculously. Now, the Hebrew faithful, the descendants of those who had been in the wilderness, had been retelling this story for around 1400 years when Jesus appears on the scene, where those who gathered around him the day before this reading had been fed with very little bread. 5,000, we're told, were fed with very little bread. The natural, the passing around of bread for the hungry, become supernatural. The supply became inexhaustible. Now, these same folks track down Jesus the next day and want him to do that again. But did they spend 24 hours looking for Jesus, crossing across the Sea of Galilee to just get more food to eat? I seriously doubt it. Maybe for some it was more, they were more kind of into the magic of it. But I want to believe that the day before, when they'd been listening to Jesus' words and the intensity of his presence with them that day, they were fed in ways they could not describe. And they wanted more of that, too. They needed more. not just belly full, but deep heart full. One of my best friends is staying with me for a few weeks. John was born in Illinois. He's 45 years old, is an architect. And 7 years ago, John became very interested in a current modern-day Indian saint by the name of Amma. And something in her teaching and presence pulled him strongly so that when she was in the U.S. on tour, he would go and see her and listen to her. She's known as the hugging saint and transmits God's loving embrace through hugs that she gives to those after she gives darshan or talk. And John tells me that she can embrace people with those loving, unconditional hugs all night long, thousands of people. And rather than tiring her the next day after she's been up all night doing that, she's extremely energized. About 3 years ago, John decided to take the leap. He sold his possessions and moved to India to Amma's ashram, Amritapuri, which is in a small fishing village in southern India. She's regarded as one of India's spiritual leaders today. Amma says that her religion is love. And she encourages all those who come to her to keep their own spiritual path as well. John has learned permaculture and runs a 17 or 13 acre farm at the ashram where locals come and learn sustainable agriculture. Permaculture is where no outside other resources are brought in. Everything that is there is used for harvest to grow things. And they grow vegetables and fruits where mostly where they were not able to do that before because southern India is all sand and the water table is about that far from the top of the ground. At lunch the other day, on Thursday, John mentioned to me that he had had a private session with Amma. It's very rare, just the two of them. And I asked him what it was like to be with her and have that embrace, that hug. He said the following. He said, it's hard to describe. It's as if there was this wave of love coming at you, kind of like the Matrix movie where reality changes without you actually having to leave where you're standing. And the flow of love is not something I could control. It just kept coming at me and getting stronger and stronger, as if everything that I ever did or said or was blessed. He went on to say, I can certainly believe without a doubt every miracle Jesus did. All of it. When I am in that presence, I realize that the laws of nature and what we call reality really don't apply. There is another dimension that the guru gives you a taste of and you just want more. Amma calls it love. And when I heard John describing the relationship with his guru, I felt like it could have just as easily been one of Jesus' followers telling a friend what it was like and why he had given up his life of fishing or tax collecting or whatever it was just to follow him and to be near him. The hook of God's palpable presence, call it love, had been set, and they did not want to be tossed back or released. Those following Jesus no doubt kept experiencing what my friend John did with Amma, waves of indescribable peace and a sense of well-being and often joy. The natural, the bread, becomes supernatural, feeding a hunger that no food could actually satisfy. And Jesus tells these descendants from the first Israelites now who are with him that the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Surely they agreed with that. That's what manna seemed to do. But their questioning seems to stop. The banter seems to decease. And they say what sounds like a prayer. Sir, give us this bread always. Then Jesus says it, something that some of his followers were probably not able to hear or accept. He says, I am the bread of life. The natural becomes the supernatural, but unlike manna, this bread comes from through a person, and it's bread for the soul that gives life from God. And Jesus later would teach those who do stay with him, who do follow him, a prayer in which they ask the Father for daily bread, which we will do soon. It's not just the bread of flour and salt and water, but spiritual life-giving sustenance that will sustain them through any wilderness trial. And it comes only in daily portions, just like the manna. Give us this day our daily bread. We are to be receivers, God the source of infinite supply. And in not many months from the scene in Capernaum where Jesus reveals his true nature, he will sit at table with many of those same followers to commemorate the Passover feast, including the supernatural blessing of manna. And he'll raise bread and say, "This is my body." The manna now becomes the person. The person now becomes the blessing of God to a thirsting and hungry world. That same source who cared for their ancestors with quail and dew and bread in the wilderness is extending the reach now. God's loving embrace has now become flesh and bone. And that person is a gateway to living a life with the spirit of love at the very core of our being. A dear friend of mine, Ward Wieman, had finally relinquished his fight with cancer as I stood beside his bed at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. He was on oxygen and IV, hydration and nutritional support. Ward pulled me close to his face and whispered, "I want to live." And in my heart of hearts, what I thought I really heard the meaning of him saying was, "This is not living. This is staying alive. I want to be free. I want to be alive." So I called the medical team together, about 15 people, and the family, and said that I truly believe Ward wanted all support to be pulled off, and that wanting to live to him meant to be fully alive, not to just stay alive. They agreed, and as they were stopping the machines, he whispered, pulled me close and said, "I love you, thank you," flashed a big smile, and died. He was free. St. Irenaeus said, "The glory of God is the human person fully alive." The glory of God is the human person fully alive. Ward wanted to go straight into the arms of that life. Manna was the sacrament to Israelites, in spite of being in the wilderness and all the fear that brings, that they would be taken care of and embraced and fed. And Jesus is the sacrament of God's presence now come into the world in a person, God's Son. That incarnation of God is personal now and brings life beyond description that meets our deepest needs and touches our darkest corners. And that person holds a new manna. What is it? It's an outward and visible sign of God's inward and spiritual grace. It is the life of God Himself living within us. Our guru. And we've been hooked with this love. Sir, give us this bread always.